first, he'll put your house first. This morning we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What evidence would there be if you were in a court of law to convict you of a Christian? You heard it many times, and they called your neighbors up, they called your family up, they called your friends up to testify the evidence they have that you are a Christian. What would they give? What would they give? Lord, working on us. Classify yourself this morning. There are at least two type of people here, maybe just one type of person here in one classification, but most likely in a setting this size, there are at least three: the natural person, the spiritual person, and the carnal person. The natural person is a person that's lost, never accepted Jesus. Maybe a church member, but they lost. And there's a spiritual person that is growing in the Lord, is mature in the Lord. And then there's a carnal person that just backslidden on the Lord, is refuses to grow. A carnal person. And what's the Lord having problems with you and me today? Little boy asks his preacher, says, preacher, do you really believe there's life on other planets? And the preacher says, no, son, I don't believe there's life on other planets. He said, well, all the galaxy, all the trillions and millions of planets they are throughout all the different universes in the world, surely you don't believe there's life on just one more planet or just one planet? He says, no, son, I don't believe there's life on any other planet except the Earth. He said, well, why in the world did the Lord go and have all that trouble creating them? And the pastor said, what trouble? Now, the only trouble Christ has and the Lord has is with me and you. And the only trouble he had with the nation of Israel had no problem of getting them out of Egypt. His only problem was that 40 years, and all of them died from 20 years old and older except two, Joshua and Caleb, because the problem he had getting Egypt out of the people. They refused to grow. They mumbled all the time and they would not grow. We could probably classify a lot of them as just carnal people at that time. Well, this morning, you need to classify yourself. You know, God's always got a test for us in our Christian life. And for us to classify ourselves, what kind of person are you? What kind of mother and father are you this morning? Do you fit in one of these categories? And I know that you do. Dad, which one is one, two, or three? Do you fit in? Are you a natural person, never been saved, never leading your family as where you should? Are you a spiritual person, doing what God has called you to do, or are you just a carnal person, saved but not never growing in the Lord? How about for your kids and your grandkids, sisters and brothers, wife and husband today, friends and family? Three categories, and you are in one of these categories this morning. Your life is in one of these categories. And each person needs to be a mature person in Jesus Christ. This morning you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. That's what you need this morning, is salvation. So let's read verses 14 and 15, and then in chapter 3, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then 1 Corinthians, that other verse, 3 and 1. And it's talking about these three different types of people. View yourself. Give your own self this test. This is an open book test. You know, a lot of people think they're spiritual and they're just carnal. The Word of God undresses our mask and tells us and shows us exactly what we really are. It don't matter, sometimes you may be going to church right regularly and you can still be a carnal person. You can come to church right regularly and you can still be a natural person, never been saved. We have a lot of people in our church roll that I do believe is a natural person. They've never been saved. I don't know who they are. That's God's business. I don't know who they are, but I'm sure they're a bunch of them. Billy Graham says the greatest mission field we have is our own Baptist churches, and I believe that with 100%. That's ones we need to be reaching, is our ones in our own congregation. on church rule. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. These three classes of people, the natural, spiritual person, and the carnal. Pleasant Hill this day, where do you fit in at? Do you know exactly where you fit in at? Some of us may think we this and we think we that, but we may be something else according to the Word of God. We really need to know where you at in Christ Jesus. Well, you need to know if you saved or not. I believe more people would be saved if they knew that they was lost. Quit patting people on the back and tell them how good people they are, because God said there's none of us good, no, not one. Before anybody can hear the good news, they need to hear the bad news that they need to be saved. No matter how much you love your wife, and no matter how much you love your husband, your kids, your grandkids, they're not saved because of your love. They're not saved because of Jesus Christ's love. They say because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary. He loved enough to die for him. He loved us before he went to that cross, but he had to die that we might be saved. To understand exactly where you are at today. You're not going to go where you're at, because you see, if you don't know where you're at, you won't know where you're going. You just take a map, the state of Georgia or any other states you want to take, and you may be traveling and you have that map. But if you have that map and all the roads of that state on that map, and if you don't know where you're at on that map, it would do you absolutely no good whatsoever. Now, I know most of us have been traveling in different states, and you come across these welcoming centers. All the welcome centers of all the states that I've ever been into always have a welcome center, and they have a state map spread out there behind maybe a piece of paper, a clear piece of paper. And then they may have a red dot, and it'll say, here's where you at. Here you are, right here. Because if you don't know where you're at, you won't know where you're going. This here this morning is to let you know where are you at, so you know where you need to go. It is a spiritual map for you to clarify your own self and to classify your own self of where you at this morning. Are you really a spiritual person, or are you a carnal person? The Holy Spirit of God will show you and let you find out where you at and show you where that you need to be. It says in verse 6 of the same chapter, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. Perfect, he's talking about. He's talking about being mature. We know there's no perfect person here today. Only one perfect person, that was Jesus Christ. That word perfect there means mature, that you've grown in the Lord. Paul's trying to get people to help to understand, really, that be able to grow in the nature of the Lord and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So classify yourself this morning. A challenge every time that you hear preaching, if it's preaching out of the Word of God, you should understand that it's a challenge to you. You need to discover yourself and find out exactly the shape that you're in this morning. And find out exactly where you fit at in these three, because you're in one of these three areas in your life right now. The natural man, it says there in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He cannot understand them. That's a lost person. That means he is born into this natural world. Number one, he is born into this natural world. We was all born into this natural world. We was all a natural person at one time. That's by the first birth. There may be someone here today has never accepted Jesus Christ. You are in the natural person, born that way, born by nature. They can't do anything else except the way nature chose them to go. Nature, all the way through nature, born. They born to do this and they do that because of nature. Now listen, if they born in this nature Only thing they have to do is just act naturally. Just go and do what comes naturally all the way through their life. And then if they do what comes naturally, so many, many people, you know what will happen? They're headed to a place called hell, the devil's hell. People say, well, you know, I hadn't killed nobody, I hadn't shot nobody, I hadn't robbed no bank. I tried to be a good father, I tried to be a good mother, I tried to be a good person, I tried to be a good moral person. All you have to do to go to hell is just act natural. So hard for people to understand that. You just act natural, and you're on the way to a place called hell, the devil hell itself. Because, see, if you hadn't been born twice, you're going to this place called hell. If you're born two times, you'll only have to die one time. John 3:5, talking about Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Old Rockefeller was asked, and this was a statement quoted by him itself, when someone asked him, are you born again? Or have you been born again? In his answer, he said himself, quote, no, I was lucky to be born the first time. Well, that is a very, very dangerous statement, and more likely if that man went out in eternity thinking that same way, he is in a devil's hell right now. Lucky to be born the first time, he says. God has helped you and give you a church. He's given you the Word of God. He's given you the Spirit of God. He gives you the prayers of all your family. Not a person here to this day it should not accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God has made a way. The ignorance of this man. Jesus said a person needs to be born again. Need to be born again. Now let me tell you, Jesus also said if that person has never been born the second time, it would be better if that person had never been born the first time. It'd be better if that person has never been born. He said it two different times in the gospel. You mean to tell me these little grandkids that you're bringing into the world and these little kids that you're bringing into the world, if they grow up lost, if they grow up without hearing the Word of God and not being saved, God said it'd be better if they'd never been born than go to a devil's hell. You know, and I know I get a lot of criticism when I say, you know, if there's a mother and a father that's got kids, you know what? They ought not never, ever, ever, ever be a service. Any way, help it. Make sure the kids are there. Well, they may understand and hear the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing the Word of God. God says, you put my house first and I put your house first. And they might come up and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. To think about that. Faith come by hearing, hearing the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ wept three times in the Bible. And I think so many times as he sees the congregation and the preaching throughout the world today and all the power he gives from heaven down to mankind, just like I said here this morning. Did you know I believe that God has done everything possible to bring you here today? I believe God has sent legions of angels in this place. I don't know how many is here today, but I believe they minister spirits to those who are saved, but I believe they minister spirits to those that have never been saved. If a person can be sitting here this day, there's no telling how many angels that God has sent to this congregation. Fill this room and we have the spiritual eyes to see the spiritual angels here this day. And what they're trying to do is look and see what's going to happen to your heart this day. If you've ever been saved, see if you're going to commit to God part of your life, if you've never been saved. And Jesus Christ, maybe sometimes, you know what, he might just see in everything he's done, and I died on the cross for that person. There's a person sitting here this morning, and maybe one or two or three or four, I don't know how many are sitting here this morning, and all the angels of heaven is here. And I said, you know what, and then the Spirit of God is here with us this day, because God promised where two or more are gathered together, he'd be in their midst. And then Jesus Christ is looking from the portals of heaven. And he's walking up and down the pews. And he comes to your pew, sir, you sitting right where you at. You and your wife and your loved ones, your family, your friend, your neighbor, or whoever it might be. And he's reading your heart very, very slowly this morning. And he's understanding all your thoughts and all what you think to do. And he knows where you're going to walk down this aisle in just a few minutes or not. He knows if pride is going to stop you from walking down this aisle and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I don't care who knows it. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm going to grab my wife by the hand and we're coming. I'm going to grab my family by the hand and we're coming. And your neighbor sitting next to you, you know what? The whole bunch of them might come. I don't know. It might be a young person that's never accepted Jesus Christ come by themselves. I don't know. But I believe that Jesus Christ might be looking over the portals of heaven now. And I just believe he says, I've done everything I can. I died the most horrible agony of death that anybody could ever die just for you, sir. And I want you to know I'm standing right here at your heart's door and I'm knocking right now. And I'm asking, I want to come in. But you see, a natural man is born to this natural world. He don't comprehend the things that I'm talking about. This natural man is just born to this old world. He had no comprehension of this things of this old world, of the spiritual things. No apprehension of what God has done for him and the spiritual things. In verse 14 again, he says, he received not the things of the Spirit because he says, you know, they are foolishness to him. There's a lot of people that's foolish to hear what I'm saying this morning, and they won't come back. They don't want to hear it. There's people that rides by right while we have in this service right now, and it's foolishness what you're doing here today. It's foolishness to take your kids and bring them to the house of the Lord. It's foolishness whenever they ride by on Wednesday night and they see that those people stand for Jesus Christ. There's a testimony at that church. There's cars lined up against this wall. And they are testimony. Those people love Jesus Christ. And they're standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And they stand for something for the community. They're standing for something for our country here this day. They're standing for Jesus Christ. But they don't understand that. They think we're the one that's causing all the trouble. They don't have nothing that they can understand about the spiritual things of God. The spiritual world is all around him, but he don't understand it. He receives not. The natural man is lost, receives not the things of God. He does not welcome them into his heart. They're just natural man. He just does what's natural. Lost person. Lost person, they don't enjoy the things that you and I enjoy. Oh, they might come and they hear music, but they just don't enjoy it like you and I enjoy it. They might look and they come to this place and say, well, it's a beautiful place, but they don't understand what it's really put here for. You see, they might come here just like they come to any other club. They might come here just because they're politicians and they want to be seen of people. But the church, they really don't understand the things that you and I understand that we save here today. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified according to Paul. Preaching now, the cross is foolishness to those who do not understand its natural people. No comprehension of the things of God. That are blinded to the spiritual world. You see, not only are they born to the natural world, but you see, they are blinded to the spiritual world. I could not see, you could not see whenever you was lost. I was blinded to the spiritual world. You know, Pleasant Hill, you know, God, open up their eyes. I could say, open up their eyes. You know what? You need your eyes open. If you're blind in here to the spiritual world today and you're lost, you need your eyes open. And only Jesus Christ can open your eyes. I can't open your eyes and I cannot convict you of sin. I can tell you what the Word of God says. But Lord, open their eyes. Nicodemus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't scold people that's blind when they can't see the sunset. We can't scold people that's lost because they don't understand it. You see, in this room here today, they're blind, you know, to the spiritual things of this world. And they do not understand it. You see, in this place here this day, a room full, they're all type of music that we cannot hear today. If we had the right tuner, we could hear all type of music here this day. But you see, if you're lost here this morning, you don't grasp the spiritual things of God. Because you see, you're blinded to the spiritual world that we're living in today, that the one that's saved. And you can't grasp the things. You don't have the ears to hear the spiritual things of God today. Oh, but not only as you just keep on going a little bit further, they're lost. And you see, the third thing we see, they're bound by the natural world and the material world. They're bound by the natural and the material world, the things that they want. That's all they live for is these things of this old world. Each one of us today, we have to fight this issue, but we got somebody to fight it with us. But you see, they bound to this material world and this material things of this world. They bound that away. And this is on this world. They know this is on this reason they live is to get more of these material things. Why? Because they're bound to this material world. That's the reason they do what they do. That's the reason they work what they work. That's the reason they buy what they buy. They live like they live because they're bound to this material world they're living in today. In Revelation, there's a group of people that God speaks to. In book of Revelation in chapter 13 and on, we find out there's a group of people that God begins to separate out and talk to. And there's a phrase that goes all the way through the book of Revelation. It says, those that dwell upon the earth. Those that dwells upon the earth. Those that dwells upon the earth. What he's saying is, that word dwell means to settle down. There's a group of people through book of Revelation that have decided this is the onlyest world that they want. Those that settle down, those that's dwelling on this earth, this is the onlyest world they are concerned with. And there's people living right here this day on this earth. This is the onlyest world they're concerned about. And there may be someone sitting here today. This is the onlyest world that you're concerned about, the material world this day. They lost. And those in Revelation, they had a chance to be saved. They refused the truth of Jesus Christ. God said, I'll send them strong delusion. They might believe the devil's lie, and they never, ever, ever, when the rapture comes, they'll never, ever, ever be saved. They have spun their time of the invitation of the Holy Spirit of God. They have decided to dwell on this earth. Well, we don't never know. They said the Spirit shall not always strive with man. Well, you may be here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ. You have never come down this aisle. You have never said, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to repent, make an about face come. And you might walk out of this building this day and never have done that. And you know what? The Spirit of God may say, well, I've given you your last opportunity. You don't decide to come next Sunday and be saved. You do not decide to come tonight and be saved. It is not your opportunity, it's God's opportunity to you. There is nothing in your heart or anybody else's heart ever, ever, ever to cause them to want to be saved. Now, what causes you want to be saved? That the Holy Spirit of God, by the Word of God, puts the Son of God in your heart and calls you to want to be saved. But in of yourself, you cannot be saved. You do not decide to be saved. You know, the devil tried that on me. I said, well, I'll get saved when I get ready. You will never, ever, ever get ready. If you don't come this morning, you won't never, ever be ready. You're ready right now because you know what? With the Word of God, is putting the Word of God in your heart to let you know that you need to come right now. This is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not whenever you feel like you're living good enough, not when you think you're a good enough a daddy, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a wife, or husband, or whatever. When you think you're good enough, today is the day. God does the changing, blinded to this old spiritual world, bound to this material world today. Invite Jesus Christ. Now, he's invited you today. He invites you here to the fellowship of this church, the fellowship of Pleasant Hill. You know what it says in Jude 19, that verse of Scripture? These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. That word sensually means natural, living by their five senses. You know, they see and they smell, you know, and they touch and they hear and they feel. These five senses is all they go by. The natural, the lost person. Categorize yourself today. Classify yourself today. Who you are. But now there's a spiritual person. Do you fit into this class of people? Now, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. That means he lives by the Spirit. Verse 12, the same chapter. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Saved Christians are not just nice people. They are new creations. They are a new creature. There's new creatures. They partake of the divine, born again from God. You see, he lives by the Spirit. He lives by the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you're dead. What the Holy Spirit is you this morning, it saved, is what blood is to your physical body. Without blood, I'm dead. Well, I'll tell you one thing, without the Spirit of God in you, you are a dead person also. You're just as dead, double dog dead, as you will ever be without the Spirit of God. And then it says, he learns from the Spirit. Verse 7, he learns from the Spirit in the same chapter. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And verse 8, which none of these princes of this world knew, for had they knew it, they would have not have crucified the Lord our glorious God if they would just knew. Listen, the Holy Spirit is one that guides us today. We learn from the Spirit of what God tells us to do. That's our teacher. I'm not really your teacher. I might help you along a little bit, but I'm not your teacher. And then we have that same chapter, verses 9 and 10. A lot of times we read this at funerals. I've been guilty of myself. We read it at funerals, and listen to what it says, verse 9. Many times we read it at funerals. But it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And then we quit. We stop. And we say, well, that beloved person that's here before you, the body, the spirit of the Lord, he's already gone up and be with the Lord. And right now, you know, he has eyes to see, he has ears to hear. And you know what? He has a heart to understand now because he's with God in heaven. That is not correct. We should not stop there. We should read the other verse of Scripture, what God intended for us to read. And then it says in verse 10, but God, talking to the living, he's talking to living people, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. Now he says we can know these things. We can know the beauty of heaven. We can know these things because God says, reveal them to us. Now, how can we know these things? By his Spirit. I'm going to tell you, there's not a person in this building that really knows me. My wife knows me better than anybody else in this building. But they don't nobody really know me in this building. But I can tell you one thing. If I could take my spirit out and put it into you, you would know me. You would know me. Jesus Christ says, I'll send you a comforter. He has took his spirit and he has put it in you. The man that come from heaven, the man that created everything, he has took that spirit, a saved person, and he's put it in you. Tell me you don't know everything. You don't know everything, but I tell you what, that spirit of God, you have got the spirit of Jesus Christ in you. Now you know some things that you'll never know any other way except through Jesus Christ. You just think about what he has really done for you and let you know what truth is. We preach the truth, but only the Holy Spirit can impart truth. To think about this morning, learn from the Spirit, liberated through the Spirit. Now the things of heaven. You know what? Whenever I was lost, I couldn't visualize heaven. Are the good things, but I'm going to tell you, since Jesus Christ came to live in my heart, he has revealed things to me about heaven. You see, I could always see death. I could always see an old deep hole I'm in thrown in because I've seen people buried whenever I was lost, and all I could see was just a deep, dark grave somewhere. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't see a deep, dark grave no more. Jesus in me. And he come from heaven, and he's going back to heaven through my spirit going with him. I don't have to worry about the deep, dark grave. And I tell you what, there's some things in heaven that he has revealed to me because I have his spirit. There's no understanding of mankind can understand. Because you see, the natural eyes and the natural ears and the natural understanding cannot understand what God has given to those. But he says, But God has given you his son's spirit. I'm going to tell you, I can understand more today about heaven than I've ever could before. Oh, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know enough about it that I want to go there. I know enough about it that I want my family to go there. I know enough about it, it's not because how I live, but because what he's done for me. I know enough about it that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins. I know enough about it right now. If I wasn't saved, I tell you what, everybody in this building around me could not drag me out of this church until I got saved. I can tell you that, and on my way to heaven. And I tell you, I want my family with me too. I tell you, I know that much about heaven. It says, verse 15, judges all things. He that judges all things, but he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. What does that mean? That means judge, that word means discern. Of all things, it's a legal word. It means to evaluate. Let me tell you what you really need to do, Christians. You need to evaluate the things. See if they're liberal or not. And see if the Holy Spirit will tell you. And that is a gift of discernment that he gives every child of God. In other words, he shows you and tells you what's moral and what's immoral. He shows you what's good and what's not good. In that word there, he says, judges no man. Discern, it means be able to see through. There's things that's happening in our religious circle today in a lot of our Baptist churches that you should be able to see through these things. That's what this word is talking about. The liberal, and you'll be able to see through this liberalism stuff that's coming on our churches this day. We believe in certain things at this church, and thank God that we do. Don't be like old Romans says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which you are reasonable servant, and be not conformed. Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Help you. Others is blind to things. But that verse 15 says, you know, he that is spiritually judges all things, yet himself no man judges. What does he mean? Spiritual things. Those that other people cannot understand. They can't understand the things, what he sees. There's things that people don't understand, what you see and understand here this day. You see the importance of things. You are here on a Sunday morning. Did you know what? You all saw the need to get up out of your bed, get your family ready, and be at church and Sunday school on Sunday morning. Other people are laying out, doing all kinds of things. But you have an understanding to be the house of God. And that's what he's talking about. You put God first. You understand what it means to soul win. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Other people that's lost don't understand this. You understand what it means for visitation. You understand what it is for soul winning and understand for Sunday school. And you understand what Wednesday night's all about whenever we lift these people up. Did you know what happened? Those of y'all that don't come, you know what we do on Wednesday night? Y'all know what we do on Wednesday night? We turn into an ambulance service. We roll people down this aisle on beds. We stretch them all out here on beds. I mean, every aisle, they full of people on beds. We roll them all out. We call all the ambulance service. Yeah, all of them. And then you know what we do? Hard because we don't have that many people here on Wednesday nights concerned about these people. But we get around them there with our hands, the hands of prayer, and then begin to lift them up to the Lord. You know that sick person? You know that person is going in the hospital? And they say, yeah, pray for me. Pray for us, preacher. Well, we all get around them. And we get our hands, our spiritual hands, and we lift this person up, person, Lord, that person going in the surgery in the morning. Suzanne's going to deliver a baby in the morning. We're going to lift her up today. Suzanne. We got Stevie's mother there in critical condition. We got Miss Vite there in the nursing home. We got Katrina there that's going to have back problems. We got Marsha with back problems. Do I need a knee anymore? A lot of things you don't want me to tell. You know what we do? We put our spiritual hands and we lift them up. You know, there's cars going by right now. They cars coming by on Wednesday night. And there's a lot of our people that don't understand. You know, it's kind of hard. Because we need all the help we can on Wednesday night to lift these people up. You know, it's a heavy load, and we need all the help we can get. But the world, they don't understand this. They just don't see the need. But you see, not only that, it's a testimony. It's a testimony. Because I wonder if your child was away somewhere or another, your family members, it comes 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Well, I think I'll call Mama. I'll call Daddy. I'll call this. I'm going to call them. Hello? Hello? Huh, they're not home. It's Wednesday. I ought to know better. Or when they say hello, you say, oh, what you want? That is a testimony for your family, sir, ma'am. And your friends and your neighbors. That is a testimony. To understand what it means to lift these people up in the Lord. How about Sunday night? We need to go over and see so-and-so on Sunday night. They won't be there. They're in church on Sunday night. or are they going to come and have a good time? He don't understand. They don't understand what you and I understand. The value of this world, they just don't understand. It says there, and then verse 16 of the same chapter, "For whom have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. That's the reason. Here I'm just about going over a little bit. But I got the third part, the carnal person, the saved person. I'll be through in just a moment. You just listen to me. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ Jesus." Carnal person. He called him brother, so they must be saved. And he says carnal. That word's fleshly. Carnivores is what that word means. You know what? That fits a lot of people that's carnal because they want to eat someone else up. They'll eat you up. They're always dissatisfied. They'll go in somebody else's other class and they will devour that class. Something is never going just right around the church. The carnivores here in this church, I can tell you that. They're flesh eaters and they'll eat one another up. They'll eat you up to your back. They'll eat you up every way that they can. And that's what that word means, fleshly. You are fleshly. They'll find something to talk about. Going to talk about me today because I went over. These three marks. One thing, these are very dependent person. They're very dependent person. In verse 2, in verse 3, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither were yet. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying, strife, and division." You are carnal. You are carnal and walk as men. What's it talking about? A baby. You are a baby. You got to feed your milk. Baby needs dependence. You have to feed a baby. They can't feed themselves. And then if that baby don't grow, they are deformed. Something wrong with them. They are deforming Christians all over the place this day. Pleasant Hill, there's a number of them. And you see, they have to have a digested word of God. They can't take it for themselves. Hebrews 5 and 12 tells us, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and not of strong drink. You ought to be a teacher. You've been doing it long enough, you ought to be a teacher. And we fix to have our nominating committee, and we fix to know I have some teachers. You ought to be teachers, but yet we have some carnal people. You need to have the first ABCs to start with. You know what you need to do? You need to understand you need to assemble in the house of God when the doors are open. B, what is B? You need your Bible study for your own self. C, you need commitment. You need to have these things before you can teach anybody. Somebody got to teach you when to come to church. Somebody got to teach you the importance of being in the house of God. People ain't gonna like you. I want you to know the truth, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm standing before you right now, but one of these days I gotta stand before God for what I'm preaching to you this morning, and I'm gonna tell you every bit of it is the truth. Every bit of it's the truth. You know, when a child comes home from the hospital and Suzanne brings that child home, and you know what? They're going to have to feed that child. Can't feed itself. They're going to have to feed that child. But you see, after a while, that child will grab that spoon and don't want you to feed it and start feeding itself. And then if it's got a brother and a sister, before long, they'll be wanting to feed the brother and sister. That's the child. That's the growth. And that's the way it ought to be for Christians. You need to feed someone else. You need to start helping feed your brothers and sisters. It says, you know what? That also there's division. In verse 3 it says, "For you are yet carnal, for whereas there are among you envy and strife and division." Now, it says strife and division. They will divide every way they can. They will separate every way they can. I'll tell you, it's in all churches. You need to classify yourself this morning. I can't classify you. I don't know where yet. You don't have a streak on your back that I can tell, but I tell you God can. And you need to know too. Jesus done everything he can with the song of invitation we're going to sing right now. Are you going to be the person that God has called you to be this morning? If you do, I believe there'll be somebody walking down this aisle. I believe there's somebody that's going to give their life to Jesus Christ. Say, hey, I know I can't be perfect. Nobody can. You know, a lot of times people won't come because they're afraid they can't live the Christian life. Well, join us. There's nobody in here that can. There's only one person ever lived the Christian life, and that's Jesus. If you could live the Christian life, he wouldn't have to die. You just come just like you are. He's the one that did the changing. He's the one that did the changing. I know. I tried to change my wife for 45 years. She'd always fry the wrong egg. You know what I found out? I'm the one that needs to be changed. You're the one that needs to be changed. Let God do it as we stand this time right now.